Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I am Tom Martin. My day job is professor of religious studies at Susquehanna University. I am also a rostered leader in the ELCA, and I am a New Testament specialist. So what I want to talk about today is my most recent project in terms of New Testament interpretation. It's entitled The Silence of God, and it's a literary study of voice and violence in the book of Revelation. I think it's a little interesting to know how a scholarship project happens, because there's motivations. It's not just sort of randomly selected. But for much of my life, I've been fascinated by the question of God and judgment. And I think a long time ago, but certainly more recently, I've become very, very uncomfortable with the idea of a judgmental God. C.S. Lewis has been pretty important in forming me, shaping me in that way, because he has a famous line in one of his writings, "The gates of hell are locked on the inside," which I just find incredibly helpful. And so I've been working for a number of years now in the book of Revelation, and I'm trying to, because it's a very problematic book, most of chapters 4 through 20 are filled with all kinds of violence and destruction and bad things happen. And I've been trying to understand how we could, as 21st century believers, sort of use this book in a way that's not dangerous or detrimental, because the history of the book of Revelation is that it's been pretty bad for the church. People die reading this particular book. So that's sort of the motivation. What I'm interested in then is looking at literary voice. So in literature, all literature has a voice in some way. There's the implied author, who is the person standing behind it. There are characters in a piece with different voices. And so I've been looking at the different kinds of voices that appear in the book of Revelation. There's, of course, the writer, who is behind it all. But what's really interesting is that the writer writes himself into his story as a character. And that creates a literary distance between the author and then the author in the story as one of the characters. So John is this narrator in the story. And that's one of the voices to look at. But there are a lot of other voices. Jesus has a voice in the opening chapters. Angels have voices. There's sort of a Disney-esque talking altar and a talking throne and maybe even a talking temple. I think Beauty and the Beast here, which really makes all this quite interesting. It's my contention, and one of the things I argue in this piece, is that the voice of God is never heard until you get to chapter 21. And that's really interesting because in the kind of world that John lives in, God's voice is utterly essential to giving authority to what you're writing. So if you're trying to write something spiritual, as John is, the highest authority you could bring into your piece to say this is true is to bring the voice of God in. And so it's just really interesting that the voice of God never shows up until the very end. What you have in between are voices of really usually very loud voices of angels, voices that are likened to thunder and earthquakes and really loud stuff. It's kind of interesting that the Roman emperors associated with their presence lots of noise. There's even an emperor who had a thunder machine in his throne room so that when he pronounced something, it could be accompanied by the sound of thunder. And John is probably sort of aping that when he talks about voices coming out of heaven with the sound of thunder. From a literary critical point of view, that brings up this really interesting thing in post-colonial theory called hybridity. So colonized people resist the culture that's colonizing them. We might think of Native Americans trying to resist the imposition of European culture onto the high plains. But at the same time that a colonized person resists, they have a tendency to soak up different pieces of this dominant culture. For John, part of that hybridity is that even though he's opposed to the emperor and to the whole concept of Roman Empire, what he ends up doing is sort of reconstructing his ideas about heaven so that they are identical to what's going on in the empire. And that's just utterly astounding that he's doing that all the way through the book. There are a few places where some specialists think that God speaks, but my contention is that when you look at those in detail, they're ambiguous at best. And usually it's just this sort of confused cacophony of voices coming out of heaven, usually pronouncing all this incredible sort of judgment and destruction. One of the things that I found really curious about trying to read different pieces of the Bible is rather than starting at the beginning and constructing meaning as you go through the text, start at the end and see what's going on there, and then go back and see how that ending influences the way you interpret the text. So if we start with God speaking at the very end in chapter 21, what's rather amazing, I think, is that God speaks in the present tense. So beginning in chapter 1 and chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, you have all these future tenses. This is going to happen. This will happen. This is what is coming in the future. And then when God speaks, it's not about the future at all. It's this present tense. Behold, I am making all things new right now. Sort of undercutting everything that you've read in the book so far. Now, where I end up wanting to take that is that some way or other, all of this stuff that's been predicted to happen is already happening. It's just not obvious, and it's really only obvious to John in his visions. And so now what I have to do as an interpreter is try to go back through all of this and understand the violence, understand the predictions in completely different ways. And there are some options here. One of the options might be that God has held his silence all the way through the book because he doesn't approve of the violence at all. And so it's a total sort of reset, dump all that, let's rethink. One of the other interesting options is the idea that the violence really isn't coming from God at all. The violence is what we do to ourselves. And so a purpose of the book is to help us diagnose our social, political, economic problems, because those forces are sort of run amok in our society, creating all kinds of destruction and breaking people's lives, breaking the environment. And so what's going on is that in the midst of our own self-destruction, God is trying to speak renewal and recapturing some sort of sense of grace and wholeness and healing in the midst of all that. So the New Jerusalem isn't this sort of thing that appears at the end of time. The New Jerusalem is this city of healing and hope that God wants us to be building now.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.